more blessings. You know the vibes. We back outside. We still live. Do it for the love. Episode 17. You know me, one of two, Eric Buddy Davis. My co-host is in the building.
Self spit fight.
And as usual, you know we're feeling good, feeling great, feeling great, feeling good. And we hope you are too. For all of us, all of you first-time viewers and listeners, we start off our show the same way every time, man. You don't really know how good or great something can be unless you know how you feel first. So I always got to look to my right and check in on my brother. So brother, what that temperature's feeling like today?
Temperature is good. I'm loving the weather today, feeling good outside. You know, I always talk about my son making progress. He just finished up championship.
Okay,
so made a huge improvement from the first time I brought him up. I can't remember what episode that was with Smurf. You know, and so it's great to see my son doing his thing. And it's starting off a new month, and I told you I wanted to start making this introduction about reminders too.
Okay.
So just here to remind you all that we're now in March, and if you didn't know, we kick off Women's History Month on the 1st, and it's International Women's Day on the 8th. Hmm. So make sure that you buy that inspirational woman a drink on St. Patrick's Day. She needs it.
For sure.
Showing love, man. How's your temperature, bro?
I feel good, bro. I got an all white, feeling angelic. Okay. I'm feeling real, real lovely today. You know the vibe. But yeah, though, man, everything's good, brother. Life is good. Work is good. The family is good. I feel like the hosting is picking up. The partying is going great, man. We're touching all different types of different bases, interviewing different types of people. We got a special guest tonight. So I'm proud of where we at, brother. The temperature is off the charts. Feeling great.
We got two good inquiries that came in.
Okay.
Not to be on the show, but for us to come out and cover media at two separate events.
So we'll get into that.
We're on the come up.
You'll get the information soon come. But we're working on it. Just best believe we're working hard.
For sure.
So, episode 17, tonight. Tonight's episode is going to be called For the Love of Legacy. For all of our consistent viewers and listeners, you know that I love to give the book definition of these words. Then I go into how we personally feel. So, legacy.
Let's go.
An amount of money or property left to someone in a will, something that is passed on, a lasting impact of particular events, actions, etc., that took place in the past or present in a person's life. Legacy is your impact, your last name. What do you leave behind when your physical is no more? Your family history, your reputation, and what you put that work in for. So when I think legacy, I always think of one of those Dave Dash interviews. And I think he was grilling everybody on the Breakfast Club. And it was like, what do you work for? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do this for? Like, no, you don't want this. Like, work for your last name. Mm-hmm. Your last name is your reputation. That's your legacy. That's what you do this for. So when I think legacy, I think about pretty much when we're now parents and fathers. I think about everything that I'm going to leave behind when I'm done with my son, not with my son, when I'm done with my life, what do I leave? And then raising a person on the autism spectrum, I got to go harder because I can't even guarantee that something will be in place for me to know that he's safe. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the people that I trust are either going to be older than me or his mother. And, you know, if she's there, then I feel okay. But what happens next if neither one of us have other kids?
Right.
If we don't carry on the Davis legacy, the Collie legacy. So I just think about really what you do with your time. When you're in good health, when you grow, when you set out those aspirations and goals you're trying to set, what is the end game? Like, why are you doing this? So that's my thought on legacy. So let's talk legacy.
My thoughts on legacy isn't too much far off from yours. To me, it's about the seeds that you sow, you know, and it's seeing the growth of that. And the overall summary and impact of everything that you've done, summarized under one thing. And I think about people like Tyler Perry, you know, taking a whole infrastructure, or I should say land, all of that stuff that was once routed out.
A studio.
Yeah, and built something greater than him. You know, that's building a legacy. And like you mentioned, last name, I tell my son all the time, you know, I hate to say it and I hate to sound cocky. I was like, but I put in a lot of work. And I have a lot of eyes on me, and them same eyes that's on me are now on you.
Hmm.
So every move that you make in school or out in the public world, it results back on not only you, but me and how I'm teaching you. So when you make stupid mistakes, they like, what the hell is self teaching this boy at the top, you know? And that's the small part of legacy. It's really levels to this, you know what I'm saying? And then you think about people who may be the heir to a loan that's given to them later when their parents die, and they have to, all of that pressure and expectation to hold on to that legacy. So it's levels to legacy, and it's something that can, I can't say that it'll never die, but with the right maintenance and the right overseers, it's something that, that can live forever.
And just speaking on legacy, I want to give a shout out to local legends and local, you know, being from Annapolis, Maryland, for anyone that's watching this for the first time or not, or listening for the first time and don't know where me and Son are from. We're from a small town, capital of Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland. And when I think of people like Miss Janice, okay, when I think of people like Annapolis All-Stars and the Womack family, when I think of Bates, when I think of all of the different foundations that's been there way before us and is going to be there more than likely when we leave, that's a legacy. That's a part of our hometown. Yeah. When I think of Wes Moore being the first, was it the first black governor of Maryland? Yeah. I think of legacy, and that's something that I'm proud to be from this state. I'm proud to be from where I'm from because I love the things that we're setting foundation on, and this is our legacy. Do it for the love. That's why we're doing it, to leave a legacy, to put that out there in the world, to inspire somebody else to want to go and start their legacy. So my message on legacy is, you know your worth. Know exactly what your intention is. Be very intentional about your craft, about your passions. And when it's all said and done, that's all you got. That's why I always take pictures. That's why I'm always recording moments, because all we got is the memories. You can lose your memory. So a visual of something that you've already lived before, like it says, your legacy is what you leave behind. So just know that your life is worth something. And if you know that, then you're going to leave a very luxury legacy behind you if you're doing the work.
And the last thing I want to say about legacy, I have to shine light on the people who secure and make sure their legacies run on. Because I'm pretty sure we're going to get into this subject tonight, but there have been plenty of people that have been taken from us too early that were in the process of building their own legacy. And it's very honorable to have somebody who believed in what you was doing, understood your mission and your goal, and then carry on that legacy towards the finish line and ensure that your legacy lives forever. Because without those people to carry on that, what you started, I mean, it's been unfortunate times where stories have died by the wayside. So shout out to the people that give every effort and step of the way to make sure the legacies are heard that was took away too early from us.
And where I thought you was going with that, I got to put it out there. If you, regardless of your success levels, have a will, have a trust, if you big money, make sure that what you want to happen when you're no longer here in the physical happens. You never know when your time is coming. So if you already got something written, women, men, make sure you go check as much as you can. I ain't saying, you know, expect your death every day. But when you get a chance, every few months or whatever, make sure everything on that paperwork is up to date. Because the worst thing that I've seen is when people leave this earth and the family got to scramble to make sure everything is in place.
I would love to share a story of one of my friends in Atlanta. Shout out to JJ's. I'm bringing it up because we spoke about this yesterday. So one of my friends, he's super into investing, Bitcoin, all of those different things. And recently he had a health scare where he literally got cancer in his throat. And he hasn't been talking for almost 2 years now. And if you know anybody like Jada Kiss, who got that raspy, instinct voice, my homeboy JJ got this distinctive, deep voice, right? And to have gone a year and a half without hearing his voice has been crazy.
Right.
But going back to his investing, he put me on game like, man, make sure right now that you got your insurance and your life insurance set up, because in his case, he didn't. And now that, you know, that situation happened and he went and tried to hurry up and fast track it, they not going to let it happen because you already have this ailment, this disease that has conquered you. So luckily, somebody like him has taken a lot of money, invested it. And even though we looked at, he showed us a screenshot of his balance, I'm like, damn, but he like, look, this is the legacy that I have to leave my family with. Mm-hmm. There is no insurance policy for me because I'm already here. So, you know, just being on your P's and Q's. And like I said in our last episode 16, you think you may be healthy, but if you're not getting them annual checkups, you just don't know. And it might be too late. So that's another message to all my people watching. Make sure you're annually getting checked up. And make sure your temperature's good.
And I feel like we just keep on throwing each other other thoughts. Make sure if you're a state worker employee or just working for a regular company, FDSP or whatever it may be, 401ks, I think it's a 501bs or 503bs, I could be saying it wrong. But yeah, no, listen here though. Make sure that you do your retirement. If you want to plan, because most people like myself, I've been working for a company for 7 years. I had planned to be there for two. And I did nothing but get raises and move up the ladder. And my first few years, I didn't do a 401k. Left thousands on the table. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that you take advantage of anything on a benefit level, because that's a part of your legacy. And before you know it, like, my dad's 69, he gets social security checks every Wednesday at the end of the month. My dad ain't had a real 9-to-5 job in 20 years, which means that man worked hard 37 years straight from age like 15 to his 40s, to where his last 20 years, he does little side jobs, but he still had a legacy set up that can help his family. So, man, take advantage of the opportunities put in front of you. Your legacy is everything.
For sure.
Moving on, go quickly into our sponsor highlight. All of our first-time listeners, this is a moment where we're going to use this spot for people that want to sponsor us in the future. Minute commercial, 2 minutes commercial, and that's going to repetitively run so we can highlight what you are and what you bring to the table. Sure. Tonight, we are going to put the sponsor highlight on No Harm VIP. And I just want to send a special shout out to Varen and Tola. I work with both of you on several events, from the Haunted House thing at Pitt Moyer, also the gun awareness event. So I just want to say a special shout out to y'all. Everything y'all doing is amazing. We need more nonprofits and organizations like that in the community.
Yep, and No Harm VIP, I just want to say, work closely with the mayor's office. They're a stronghold in our community, doing many different types of events, like Buddy just said, from Haunted House events, gun violence prevention, and just also fun kickback events for the community to get to know each other.
Facts.
I had the pleasure of doing the logo for both rounds, the No Harm VIP and No Harm VIP options. So shout out to y'all for continuously using my services to support and market you guys. And shout out to Corinne and Tola.
No Harm VIP for sure.
Yes.
So moving forward, this is one of our funner segments where we like to poke things that are not our particular preference. Things that we don't particularly love. And you know we don't say the H-A-T-E word on our show. So this is our love to not love segment. And I'm going to kick it off tonight. So my first love to not love is when we eliminate an individual's greatness because of character flaws. Like, we love to bang gavels but can't sentence anybody. I think my Atelier Baltimore showrunner knows what I said off camera. But, you know, we like to judge people, but you don't have the right to sentence them, so you might as well just shut up. We like to do certain things and put ourselves in positions, but we don't really care or cheer for when it happens for another person. So I want to say that if you do something wrong, you deserve to be judged. But don't act like you wasn't a dance to All About the Pigeons. Don't act like I Believe I Could Fly wasn't a great song. Don't do that when you know you loved it. And as soon as that person has a bad moment or their character flaws or their trauma is put on display, all you do is make fun of it in the comments, shit on their history, shit on their legacy. Like, if we're not going to protect the greatness of something just to wait for a moment to deteriorate it, then why celebrate anything great at all? Yeah. All of us are flawed and none of us are perfect. Stop it.
My love to not love is strikingly similar, bro. I pretty much wrote down people who want to tear down your legacy for one wrongdoing. And in my statement, I said, I do think there are certain circumstances where your legacy should be examined and explained based off some of the thoughts or moves that you did that didn't make sense for the character that we know you for. Okay. But it shouldn't eliminate what you did for the culture and what you did for, you know, the society. So the same way that you guys try to shit and forget about the work put in, do we do that with the same thing that they did negatively? No. So it's like, you gotta still honor the legacy, but you still have to hold that person accountable. And that's my thing. And I did have another part that I'll follow up with is, the perfect example is, look at the legacy of LeBron James, right? Not many marks on his sleeve. Like, he's been a great man off the court. He may have flopped on the court a couple times, but nothing to really take away from this man's game. But I tend to see a lot of people trying to find any way to squeeze a dart in there, and right now they're using his son, Bronny James, as the pincushion. You get what I'm saying? Any little mistake that he made, it, to me, is truly a way for them to finally poke the bear and get at LeBron.
Right.
You cannot mess this man's legacy up by targeting his son.
Right.
His son is still going to build a legacy for himself, whether he makes it in the league or not,
right,
because he's set up on a foundation, a legacy that his father built. So
thanks.
I'm a bet on Bronny James to be successful in some type of way 9 times out of 10, because he has a strong backing behind him and a strong king, you know?
Good talk.
Yeah.
My second love to not love, only seeing worth in something when everyone else does. I know it's not always intentional. I also know that all of our time is valuable. With that being said, though, it leaves a sour taste in the mouths of people that's grinding and climbing up the ladder of success when the people, because if you're a stranger to me, then you have no reason to do anything or care about what I'm doing. If I grab the attention, I do. If I don't, then whatever. But if it's people from your hometown, people that you see all the time, people that, like for instance, I don't see the names of all of our subscribers, but I also see that we don't really get a lot of comment interaction. But you know everything I get when I get out in public? Yo, I watch the show. I love it, bro. This episode was great. This episode was this. Like, please don't start commenting on it because of shade room conversation. Like, hit us now on our webpage. Yeah. Hit us now on our Instagram and Facebook. Don't wait until the people that you follow and you look at up here start to post us, and now you want to talk about us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to act like I'm not going to respond then because I'm waiting for you. But at the same time, start now. We want you now. We need you now. We're here now.
When you say grab your attention, I thought you just said, let me grab the titty. I thought you were going to be real nasty out there.
I don't want to grab the titty of a girl that does not comment now. I don't want your titty. I want your comment. Then your titty.
Sorry. I like that.
You like it? Yeah. All right. Did you have a second one?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it tonight? Okay. So that is our love to not love in the future for all guests that's coming, for all of the people that watch and listen. That's what love to not love is. We poke fun at things, but sometimes it can take a serious turn. Sometimes it can take a more comical turn. Moving forward, this is our shine the spotlight moment where we pick an organization. We pick an individual. It could be a moment that happened throughout the week. It could be somebody that you saw at the grocery store and then a conversation sparked you to go donate to a foundation you never heard of because the story moved you. So tonight, I think going with the role of legacy and going with who our guest is tonight, I'm going to put the spotlight on anyone dealing with grief. We've talked about on this show several times about giving people the proper time to mourn. We talked about several times just giving people grace if it's a misunderstanding or something that they could be ignorant to because they haven't got the proper knowledge of it yet. But what we tend to do is try to fast track someone's process when these people are struggling. And then sometimes it could be the opposite side of it, and then that grief turns into a business or organization where they're now turning other people's grief into moments to be grounded and moments to move forward. So I've done events in the last few years, from the gun violence event to the event I did with Nico Singleton, and it's all about trauma. It could be from gun violence, it could be from domestic events, it could be from suicide. It could be from a random accident, losing your whole family, and you survived a car crash, but you lost your wife and your kids. Like, it's so many different people that's going through different levels of grief. So I just want to show my love to all of you because I know days get dark. I know it's a lot of times as a person, I say it so much because it's my life, raising a person non-verbal with autism. I don't even have time to sit in my moments where I'm like, yeah, I can't control this shit. Like, this is rough, but who else gonna go step up for him besides me and his mother and his grandparents and aunts or whatever? So I'm just saying that I understand y'all and I'm with y'all. Keep fighting. Your life is worth it. Keep on going. Take that grief and turn it into a moment to motivate the world.
For sure.
For sure. Anything you want to speak on?
Wanted to shout out Tanya Cooper, who is the founder of Weeping Mothers Foundation. She immediately popped in my mind. She lost her son due to gun violence and has been on an everlasting fight every year, every day since, and also comforting other mothers who dealt with the same trauma.
Yeah.
And I admire the strength in people who, like you said, allow their trauma and grief, they don't let it to burden them or put them in a sunken place. They use it as a means of motivation or inspiration to go out and try to save the world.
Right. And I just want to send a special shout out to Kiana, my cousin Trevin, who just lost their son to gun violence last year. And just anybody else that's dealing with it, like Self said, we know too many to keep going. Miss Angel, I gotta shout you out. She lost a son to gun violence and lost another son in retaliation to gun violence.
And shout out Miss Tamika Palmer, Breonna Taylor's mother. You know, I was blessed with the opportunity to paint a mural for Breonna Taylor's mother on her birthday. And me and Miss Tamika have been like this since. Like, I literally feel honored that I can text her on her birthday or hit her up on Facebook. She comment under my stuff all the time. And I lost my mother. So I always tell her, like, you might have lost a child, but you gained a new son the same way I gained a new mother. So sometimes we need people to just step in and sympathize and be that extra hand to hold you when you need it.
Yeah, so just send a constant and an abundance of love and prayer to everyone that can, you know, understands what we're talking about, and anybody that feels like grief has impacted their life and changed them forever. I think it's time. I think the person that we're bringing on tonight might want to even get into this topic a little bit with us. So, episode 17, For the Love of Legacy. You know the vibes.
Welcome back. As we told you all, this is episode number 17.
17.
For the Love of Legacy. And our next guest is the definition of resilient and inspiring. From overcoming personal tragedy to championing change in her community, her story is a testament of resilience, empowerment, and the enduring power of love, guaranteed to leave her family with a legacy. With great pleasure, we introduce to you Miss Ebony McClenny, also known as Lovely Ed.
Clap from home, clap from your car, so wherever you're listening to us and watching us.
Coming on the episode of Do It For The Love with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for such a warm, welcoming introduction.
Absolutely.
I feel honored to be here tonight.
He be trying to have better introductions than me, but I'm going to make sure I keep him on the stage.
No. I mean, well, you can do it over.
Oh, listen now. I love that.
Which one sounds better?
All right. But no, listen, how we normally start our show is we like to give people pretty much the who, what, when, where, why, your journey, and your story, however you feel best answering it. So to keep it very simple, who is Ebony McClenny and the way you want the world to know you?
The way I want the world to know my legacy that
I
leave behind.
So
Ebony, I am a local Baltimorean. I was born and raised here in Baltimore. I'm West Baltimore City. You know, I'm a mother of two. I'm a full-time real estate agent. I've been a realtor now for about 6 years.
Okay.
Recently started and founded a nonprofit organization a little over a year ago, which is called SUN. SUN, the acronym stands for Survive in Our Neighborhood.
I like that.
Also do photography part-time. So I have a little bit of talent behind the camera. Some people don't know.
Okay.
But that's pretty much that. I'm, you know, just a go-getter, hustler, grinder. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm just trying to, you know, make it to that next level. So that legacy that I will leave behind will have a lasting impact.
Well said.
The Baltimore accent is coming through real heavy.
Okay, two.
So,
let me say two.
Two dudes.
West side of the building.
But keeping it hometown and in the Baltimore culture, what's one local tradition or hidden gem you believe everybody should experience once being from Baltimore?
Well, I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
You definitely have to get a really good chicken box from in the hood. It can't be like in Baltimore County. It got to be like right there in the city.
Reason.
Okay. And then the summertime, you have to get a snowball egg custard.
Okay.
That's like
snowballs and chicken.
I actually love egg custard.
Well, I will add one more. Of course, everybody loves the seafood, but I'm allergic to shellfish. But we're known for the best crab cakes and crabs in the world.
Okay.
That's a fact, though. Yeah, no, I love me an egg custard snowball with marshmallows.
Exactly.
I had marshmallows.
Kick it off with good Baltimore vibe.
Right.
Gotta have the mellows.
Definitely.
So my next question for you is, what is it like managing the realtor side of your work, and now since you're a year in, the nonprofit side of your work? Is the balance something that you just easily flow into, or is it something that you pretty much had to like set up for you to get into the flow that you're in now?
Yeah, definitely something I had to set up to get into the flow. Real estate is definitely, you know, it's time consuming. It can be very challenging. A lot of times you're managing, juggling more than one. You're juggling more than one deal at a time.
True.
So when you have like multiple clients or multiple deals, sometimes you're running left and right, and then you got to find time to manage and do your programming and things for the nonprofit. So balancing that time can be difficult, but you know, I just try to manage it the best that I can, because it's like two total different lanes, but I try to make it flow together, if that
gotcha.
Makes sense.
So. A second question before I let Sel go. Is it easy to find people to play roles and to delegate, or that's something that you've maybe struggled with in the process?
Well, a little bit of both. It's kind of easy, but it just depends on what I need to delegate to them. So sometimes I can get somebody to do something like that, and then sometimes they're like, I don't know, I might not have time to do all of that. So,
gotcha.
You know, but I kind of navigated with, you know, I definitely get a lot of volunteers with my nonprofit.
Cool.
We're looking into hiring a few interns this year, especially this summer. So look out.
Look out for the box.
We have some applications coming soon.
Okay.
So, you know, delegating on the nonprofit side is a lot easier than on the real estate side. So at one point I thought about building a team, and then you have a lot more help hands on.
Right.
But you know, right now I just try to manage it as best as I can.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Just going back a little bit on what Buddy said earlier in the episode about triumphing, going through tragedy, and then it's inspiring something great. The Sun organization was founded through the face, something in the face of tragedy. Can you share that moment and tell us a little bit about what inspired that initiative?
Sure. So Sun organization, I was inspired to do my nonprofit after the tragic loss of my son.
Okay.
He was 17. He was shot and killed in Baltimore in May of 2022. So he actually died one day before his 18th birthday.
Thank you.
So I'm, you know, still battling the grief and, you know, the trauma of losing a child. But from that pain, I wanted to put it into a purpose and, you know, have a passion behind something that could leave his legacy and leave his name to carry on. So that's what prompted me to start my nonprofit. I wanted to give back to the community that I grew up, the community that he unfortunately passed away in, and help these kids that are facing these adversities in these inner cities learn how to cope with their trauma and also just try to overcome those adversities so they can better stay on the right path.
So were you always wanting to do something great in the community like that, or was this something like after your son passed, you sat in it for a while and then you was like, you know what, I want to do this? Or was it something that just immediately already was there?
Well, I kind of sat in it for a little bit. I knew I wanted to do something, but I just didn't know what. It was like, okay, I can write a book. You know, I can get back. I've always been like kind of in the community. I always wanted to like help out, feed the homeless, do things and help other organizations. But I never had an idea of ever running my own nonprofit, you know, so I didn't know exactly what to do or how to do it or how to go about it. So I sat on it for a little bit, and then I had people like in my ear, like, you got to do something, you got to start an organization or something. So with the help and support of other people pushing me, shout out to Uncle T, Challenge to Change. He definitely inspired me and pushed me. He's a big influence. He was very, very well connected and close with my son, because my son and his son were best friends since about third grade. So he was one of my biggest motivations. And he's like, Ebony, I don't care what you do. You got to work with some mothers. So, you know, I don't necessarily target mothers in general, but I like to work with women and the youth as well. More so the youth, because I see where my son kind of went down that wrong path. So I wanted to kind of like jump in there. I feel like if you can grab them early and try to redirect them, then, you know, it kind of helps them stay on a better path.
One follow-up question before we move on, because I don't know if your question is different, but how did you think of the name for the nonprofit? Was it already there, or did somebody help you kind of break down the acronym? I'm always curious to find out how people think.
That's a good question. So I didn't know what I wanted to name it. I knew I wanted it to be named something to relate to my son.
Right.
So I thought about his nickname, which was Bonk. But I'm like, I don't know. Whatever I name it has to be. I wanted an acronym.
Right.
And so I sat there and I talked with my little sister for a little bit about it. And we kind of like piggybacked off each other. And I was like, Saving Our Nation, like Searching on Neighborhoods, you know, and I was just like when Surviving Our Neighborhoods came to my head, it was just like, that's it.
And it's funny when it be something so simple, it take a little while to get to, but.
And it actually gives that like meaning behind, because my son, he died in a neighborhood that he didn't have to. He could have survived that neighborhood, but he made bad decisions, you know. So I think that if I can reassure these kids, like, you can survive. You don't have to become a product of your environment. You don't have to be that next statistic, you know. So I definitely took a little minute to think about it, but when it came, I was like, that's it, you know, that's it. And so everybody, when I say the name and the acronym, they're like, wow, what did you come up with that?
It's mine.
I branded it, and Surviving Our Neighborhoods, Son. And it's in memory of my son. So it just all makes sense now.
I just want to say, being that we already put the sponsor highlight on Grieving Mothers, that I just met you and I'm proud of you. Because to sit here and talk about a loss like that, it's not easy. I can't fathom it. And it's crazy when I was looking at your bio and writing the episode. I do believe in strange occurrences, but I also believe everything happens for a reason. And the fact that your son died at 17 years old in May of 2022, my son's birthday is May 22nd, he'll be 17 this year.
Wow.
So when I read that, like, it immediately hit me, like, and I'm dealing with, I don't know if you heard me, a nonverbal autistic child whose life expectancy is like high 20s, 30s, mm-hmm. just due to self-injury, self-inflicted things. So, yeah, like, it might not be looked at the same as your son of decision making, but my son can't even control his decisions that will ultimately hurt him. So, I feel you. You know, I feel what you go. I can't say I feel what you're going through, but I can do my best to just try to put myself there.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that answer.
Thank you.
My next question is going to be one of my whys. Why are nonprofits like yours? And I think you kind of just answered it yourself, but if you have another answer or something you want to pinpoint, why are nonprofits like yours so essential to these inner city communities or any communities dealing with trauma? Why is it so essential?
Good question. I think that we as a community, it takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child, you
Facts.
Know. And shout out to you for raising, you know, an autistic
Pleasure.
Child. I know some people personally who deal with that. And, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, you have the strength of like a giant because you have to have a lot of patience and things like that.
So,
you know, parenting doesn't come with a handbook. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are both parents. And when I had my son at 18, so I didn't know what, you know, what I was doing. I'm just like, okay, I'm a mother. I have a baby and, you know, life just goes on, right? His father went to prison about 4 months old. His father went to prison and he's actually still in prison serving a 20-year sentence. He should be home in about a year or so. So that right there alone, I had to learn to raise my son on my own at 18. And just navigating through that was challenging enough itself. And I feel like I had the support of his dad's family.
Right.
You know, I had my family, my friends, but, you know, you're still trying to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Still trying to figure it out. And a lot of these inner city kids, that's what they're doing. They're trying to figure it out.
Every day.
And they want to be a part of something. And most of them, a lot of them don't have that structure at home. I had my son at 18, and over the years, like, parents are getting younger and younger. Grandparents are 30 years old now, you know. We don't have that traditional Sunday dinner, sitting at the table, going to grandma's house. And, you know, so these kids are being raised, for one, a lot of them are raising themselves, or they're being raised by other relatives.
Social media,
the rap music. So they're wanting to fit in and be a part of something.
Yeah.
So the more positivity that we can pour into them, because a lot of them don't get that at home. They don't have the structure at home.
Thanks.
And that's why, even with my nonprofit, I even am targeting, you know, the household. It's not about the child. A lot of us nonprofits and organizations, we're pouring to the children. We're pouring into the, trying to get to the root of the problem. But we're sending them right back home to the broken household. So, you know, how can we reconnect where there's a disconnect? Where, how can we better the communication between parent and child? So we're doing more family engagement this year as well. But, you know, we just need that reconnection.
Thanks.
And who else to do it other than organizations that, you know, care about the community? So we're here to kind of step in where parents don't know what to do. I was that parent at one point. I didn't know what to do. My son was kind of out of control. And I'm like, who do I turn to? What do I do? So the more that we step up as a community, as these organizations, as leaders, I feel like we can help. We can't save them all, but if we can grab one or two and get them to listen, then they can tell one or two.
And that's good work.
And that's just pretty much my mission. You know, I'm just trying to just get that one or two that's, because somebody wants to do right.
Yeah.
It's always somebody who wants to do right, but you got like this magnet. When you go outside, the magnet is like, and you're trying to pull away from this magnet. The magnet of negativity, and it's constant, and it's a battle. But if you can get that one person that wants to do right, that's all it takes. You know, you can grab them, and then they can go home and tell their friends, look, yo, that's not cool. You know I go to some organization, and we be having fun.
Right.
Y'all talking to Ebony on the podcast. You know, like, you got to listen to it. So I feel like I can relate. And you have to be relatable. Like, the youth want to talk to somebody who knows what you're going through, who understands what you're going through from experience. So I feel like I can tell them from experience a lot of what I've been through and try to help them change that trajectory of their mindset.
Very thorough answer. Thank you.
So I would assume that two of the coping skills that you probably have gone through since losing your son is, one, relating to others who've been through what you've been through,
mm-hmm.
and also being a comforter to people who went through the same thing that you've been through. So what for you has been the most surprising outcome since starting this initiative and this mission? And what's like a feel-good story that you didn't even expect that you would have had an effect on somebody by starting your son organization?
So it's kind of like, you know, you don't really know. I never knew what to expect from it. You know, I didn't know what route I really wanted to take. I really didn't know how to deliver a positive, impactful mission to the community. Like, what's going to make people want to listen to me? You know, who am I to be like, I'm just an average realtor. I'm just an average Baltimorean. But I didn't realize until I knew, like, how much and how loved my son was in our city. You know, like, my son, y'all talked about legacy. My son at 17, he left a little legacy behind. You know, he had started.
To your surprise.
To my surprise. And it wasn't all good, though. So I wasn't too happy about his legacy. Because, you know, he rapped. He started a rap career maybe a year before. And he rapped about guns and drugs and killing and everything. But those songs, you know, he had his fan base. He had his crowd of people that loved him. You know, he had his dealership license at 16. He was selling cars. And so he left this hustle mentality. He was known in the community. And so many people loved him. So I knew that would make them pay attention. Because when they see me, they're like, that's Bunk Mama. Like, I follow him on Instagram. I'm like, okay. I went from like 5,000 followers to like 14,000 followers. I got like 14K now. I'm like, I don't know, 10,000. Y'all know my son, so hey, I can be at like a grocery store. I've been at like the post office. They're like, oh my God, you Bunk Mama. It's like, you really exist. I did. I'm here. So I felt like with that, you know, I could really use that as like, people are going to want to listen to me because like, I'm Bunk Mama. So how can I be impactful as being Bunk's mother? So, you know, I take that and I'm just like, all right, don't be my son. I compare stories about him all the time. I compare his lifestyle. I compare the bad decisions he makes. He didn't have to. A lot of y'all kids don't have to. You know, they just want to be a part of something. So they find something to be a part of. And it is some parents out here. You know, like I said, a lot of kids don't have that at home. But it's a lot of us like me who are fighting for our children every day, who are providing a great safe space at home, who's giving their children everything. But they still choose the wrong path. They choose to do wrong. And so it's the choices that they make. And I try to reiterate that when I work with these kids, like, you got to make better choices. So I think by me using my personal experience and what my son went through and him leaving such an impact, it helps me really get through to them a lot better.
I must say that I commend you for being straight up and accountable. Not, you know, because I've seen a lot of mothers, which rightfully so, you know, they see their child lose a life through whatever means it is. And instead of talking about what the solution could be or what went wrong, it's more so pointing fingers at the person that did it, which is, like I said, rightfully so. They need to be addressed, but it's also the other side to the coin. And I feel like part of us finding a solution for a lot of community issues is going to be through holding ourselves accountable, really pointing out some of the mistakes that we've made and some of the times that we wasn't there to help curb those decisions that our children made. So I commend you for being open and upfront and honest about how you view it. And I hope that many of our viewers could really learn from this and begin to speak about some of the negative things that our children do and how it can contribute to a tragedy or just a mishap. So I just wanted to commend you on that.
Yeah, me as well. I was going to say all of that before I answer my next question, because I've never spoken with someone who's lost someone and still chose, because most people, if you feel like everything isn't perfect, then you'll stop doing something. So, yeah, my son wasn't perfect, but does that mean I'm not going to build something to keep his legacy going and show people how much I actually love my son and how much the city loved my son? Most people would have stopped because, you know, somebody's going to be like, man, he wouldn't share, blah, 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 blah. Anything negative to try to rain on what you're creating. So to be accountable and still at the same time be like, his decisions wasn't the best, but I still love him, and whatever it was, and now we're here. So I got to give you props for that, because it takes a whole lot of strength to be able to talk that talk and still walk the way you do.
And mothers going through that, remember, opinions are temporary. Mm-hmm. Temporary impact to you and temporarily in the air, but what you building right now for your son and him being gone is a legacy that can stand the test of time. So shout out to you.
Yeah, because a lot of us, you know, us mothers, we do tend to beat ourselves up. We do tend to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. You feel shameful. You feel embarrassed. Like, my son, when he got arrested, it was, like, embarrassing. Because I knew, I'm like, why are you even selling drugs? Yeah. You know better. You don't even need to. You have a, although his dad wasn't here, his grandparents on his father's side, they give him everything. I'm like, why are you selling drugs? What do you want that we can't buy? Mm-hmm. At 16, at 15, that madness. It's streets. Like, and he had that mentality coming up. But it's like, once he got a whiff of it, it was just like,
consumed.
Like a vacuum, it just sucked him in.
Consumed.
And I've never been naive. I've never been naive to his lifestyle. I never wanted to accept his lifestyle, but I had to learn to deal with it and still be a parent. And at some point, I put him out. I was like, you can't live here doing that. Like, if that's the lifestyle you choose, I wasn't that mother who I'm going to let my 15, 16-year-old come and throw me thousands of dollars and pay my bills and all that. No, we're not doing that. I don't approve of it. I don't condone it. And if that's what you want to do, so be it, but you can't do it here. Mm-hmm. I tried so many interventions, you know, and for the mothers, like you said, so for the mothers, you know, don't. People are going to criticize. People are going to judge you. People are going to talk behind your back. Family members, close friends, everything. I had some closest friends that I never even told what was going on because I knew I would be the topic of the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just held it to myself. I fought that battle alone. A lot of people don't know the sleepless nights. I cried. I prayed. Taking my son to church, begging him to change his ways. The arguments we had where he's like, "Mom, this is my life. I can do what I want." You know, people don't know that, so they don't know the darkness. So now it's like I can shed light on it because I don't want to hold it in when I know that that could potentially help the next mother that's going through it. Because when I did another interview on another podcast, my DMs were blowing up like crazy. I mean, I had so many mothers like, "Oh my God, you sound like me." Like, I needed to hear this. I had people asking me, "Can you talk to my son? Maybe my son said he knows your son. Maybe he'll listen to you."
Right.
And so I feel like in that moment, I've already made an impact. Mm-hmm.
Buddy had a similar situation.
I was about to say,
autism community.
It could be so overwhelming. Holly Robinson Pete and this autism supporter, because I look at Holly Robinson Pete as like one of the first celebrities I knew that had a son with autism. I wasn't scared to talk about her and her husband, Rodney. And I got reposted by like a support page that got like hundreds of thousands of followers. My DMs, till this day, I haven't been able to respond to everybody. But when you're put on that platform, they all of a sudden think we're Superman. They're like, "What do you do with your son? How do you get your son therapy? I'm like, "Listen, bro, the waiting list, just like you. Patience, just like you. God, prayer, consistency, just like you. I'm no special. God might have made me special because of my patience and just... I can, it's almost what you said earlier. The things that separate men and women are our decisions and how we process things. Right. I was blessed to grow up around, my parents have been married 40-something years.
Wow.
My oldest sister's a college graduate. My aunts, everyone, most of the people in my family successful. So I grew up with a good example, but at the same time, I'm the first male to graduate from my family. All the other males, jail, drugs, or, you know, lost their life to something. So to stay on that path, it's tough to do, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. I gotta look y'all in your eyes. It's cool to survive. You can't have a legacy if you don't live long enough to create one. Luckily, her son was courageous enough as a person that, good or bad, he still left one. And I just want to say that, once again, just how like great you are. You're a goat for just how you carry this conversation. Because a lot of people could look at this as sad. A lot of people could look at this as motivational. But you're doing this with a smile on your face and still talking about all of the good things that you're doing. So my next question was going to be about, when is it a good time for, like, because you went through it, so you could say specifically when it hit you. But what was that window like grieving before you turned your grief into growth? Like, when was the moment that you actually were accessible enough to take the advice? Like you said, you didn't want to tell certain friends about it because all it was going to do was make it worse. So maybe it was a person or was it a moment? But what, like, really turned that grief into, like, you already said what made you start, son. But was it a moment that turned your grief into growth?
It was. That's actually a good question. And I tell people this a lot of times. I'm glad you brought the word grief up because grief starts way before death. You know, a lot of people don't realize, like, you don't just grieve the loss of a person. You know, I was grieving a long time before my son died. because I saw it coming, you know, and I started to prepare myself mentally when he was about 15.
Okay.
Because of some of the things he was doing and some of the things he was involved in. Like, I called my life insurance policy carrier, like, what can I do to increase his policy? I don't see him going down the right path. Like, and she told me what to do, and I doubled his policy. I was like, you know what? I need to prepare myself because I see this path trickling down from here to here to here to here. And it was like, every time you go outside, you can go right or left, and you just keep going left. You will not make that right turn. So I started to pray more about it. I started to, like, ask God for strength to, like, if something ever happens to my son, I just want the strength to deal with it. So actually, mentally, I prepared for myself a year or two before. And it sounds crazy to say, but it was reality. Because a lot of parents are very naive, especially when you know. Like, my son did a good job at hiding it, but after a while, I knew. Because I started seeing it, and then when he got locked up the first time,
couldn't hide it no more.
He couldn't hide it. Guns, drugs, I mean, drugs. Like, amount of drugs.
Right.
I'm like, I knew he was out here running around, but now you just trying to be the little kingpin around here. So I'm like, all right, you know, but some parents don't think that it could happen when they know what their child is doing.
Right.
Not even your child. My son was a child at 17, but even your adult kid, 21, 25, you know you're not naive. You know they don't have a job, and my son had a job, but you know, if your child don't have a job and he wearing all the latest clothes and he always got money and he driving nice cars,
you know you didn't buy it.
You know what's going on. Right. You know, so although in Baltimore, in this city, unfortunately, that's just the reality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the norm. And I hate to say it, but I prepared for it. So in that journey, I knew that if something happened to him, I had to keep going because I have another son. Mm-hmm. I can't drown in my grief and my depression, and which I do. I'm sitting here and I smile every day, but I have my days. I have my moments where I just don't want to do anything. Where I just don't answer my phone. Where I just don't get out of bed. Where I gotta pull my car over because I'm so emotional that I can't drive. You know, so sometimes it hits me and I'm really like, damn, my son gone forever. You know, it feels like he's locked up and he gonna call home one day. But, you know, that grief started way before his death. And so once that growth came, it was just like, all right, after the funeral, I was like, all right, now it's go time.
Right, you were prepared for it. So you were ready.
I can't, like, and I'm still, sometimes I feel like I keep going so much that I have never taken the time to really properly grieve. Because it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I got to keep going.
Right.
So, you know, you definitely got to take the time to grieve. And that's one thing I don't think I've done very good at, but yeah. I'm handling it.
You're wearing it well, and like I said earlier, you just spoke on pretty much everything we said in the intro about preparing, wills, trust. Like, a lot of people, me and some of the conversation coming up the road about car accidents. A man talking about car accidents while driving.
Oh,
but
wow.
I said,
Texting and driving.
Y'all pull me over, I'm gonna tell y'all where he live at. But I just wanted to say,
No,
I definitely had the seatbelt on. But pretty much that conversation, the reason I brought it up, is that a lot of people don't believe in saying something out loud. Because if you believe in manifestation, you can also manifest evil. People believe the rap lyrics make them kill and shoot. And people believe that. And at the same time, like, the rap music can make them a millionaire. So how much you want to give credit to the rap music? But at the same time, I do believe in saying how you feel. And the fact that I'm talking about a car accident while driving, does that mean we're going to crash? Not if I stay paying attention and do what I can. I can't control the other cars. Mm-hmm. So when you said it sounds crazy, I can understand why people think it may sound crazy. But if you see something every day, it's a lot easier than your man that you just showed me, that old Sugar Ray's. All right, we can always see something for what it could be. But if you don't ever see something for what it is, one day the A's is going to take you out. And you're not going to be prepared for it. And now you're going to feel like a person that's not worthy of life. You can't handle it. But if you pay attention to the signs, you'll be prepared. So, and you were. So, unfortunately, that happened. But it's good for your answer to see what your growth and grief was, because you were already going through it.
Mm-hmm. And before we move on to a little bit more about, you know, your other careers, I would like to just go back just a little bit when you were talking about seeing some of those signs. Can you share maybe one or two of the signs that you knew that was a red flag in your eyes, because maybe it's some others out there watching that may not be as notice some of these things like you did.
Other than the drug bust, because I know that's like the obvious.
That was the obvious.
But if it was like a little small one, just in-house stuff.
Right, little things. So I would always have his location on his phone. He started turning his location off, and then one day he didn't. It was back on. I don't think he knew I put it back on. And then I asked him where he was at, and he lied. He was like, "Oh, I'm out in Orange Mills was at my grandmother's," but he was like in the city somewhere. Where I'm like, "You're not out there. Like, and why are you lying about where you at?" So little stuff like that, the lies about where he was going, you know, I started seeing stuff in his room, like car keys. And I'm like, whose car? Who Honda keys? Like, I just found this key the whole time. He had bought a car. He run around. And, you know, then I was getting phone calls about things. His whole attitude, though, just the anger. It's like he got to that stage of rebellion. And then once he started to rebel, I started to just see the aggression. And you know, the first thing he wanted to do was just run outside. And I'm like, why you keep going up? We didn't even live in the city. You know, he kept running in the city. So just the actions, pay attention to the actions. And I don't care how old, if you under 18, like, have your child location on their phone. I need to know where you at all times. Like, my youngest son, I'm the same way. So when he started doing little stuff like that, I knew, I'm like, he's sneaking around too much. He would never be, he, like, blocked me off his Instagram story so I couldn't see what he was posting. And you know, so just a lot of little stuff, the smoking, and you know, you see a little bit of everything. But anytime you notice a change in your kids, and talk to them, have talks, have those conversations, sit them down, find out what's wrong. And I think that's the bigger problem. Parents don't know how to talk and communicate with their kids, and vice versa. Kids don't feel comfortable talking to their parents.
One of the big issues that we see right now is weapons. Did you ever find a weapon in your home?
Oh, I walked in and there was a gun just sitting on the bed one day.
So how do you have that conversation?
And I'm like, so, and that's the thing. So he wasn't there. He left out. And he was like rushing, I guess, because he wouldn't have just, it was like, boom, not even tucked away. So I'm like, I went in his room to do something. And at that point, my niece was living with me. And she was probably around 12 or so. But they wasn't home. They hired my other son was at school. And so I walked in there and I'm like, and I straight FaceTime him. I'm like, what the? And he was all like calm, like, oh my bad, ma. I thought I put it up. I'm like, you thought you put it up? What the fuck is it doing in my house? You know? And he was like, and I heard his homeboy in the background, and his homeboy, he stuttered, right? And he was like, man, you be geeking, bro. You be geeking, bro. I could not. And y'all know his friends. Y'all know which one I'm talking about. But he was stuttering.
I don't want to smoke, boss. I'm just laughing at the way she's telling the story.
Yo, you always geeking, bro. You don't know. So I'm like, and so I was like, you got. So now, as a mother, so at this point, this is where being a mother and still trying to protect your child, because I'm like, I don't know who gun this is. Right. Do I take it? Do I give it to the police? I want it out of my house. You know, you got to come get this out of here. If I take it, I throw it away, do something for somebody else's, it's going to put you in trouble. So you have to try to, like, learn to still be a parent and not that friend and understand that, like, and I think that was at the point where I'm like, look, you too comfortable. You too comfortable with breaking the law. Anytime you just going to leave a gun sitting on your bed, I mean, you didn't even, and I mean, his response was so nonchalant. Oh, my bad. I thought I put it up.
Do you think looking back now, you made the right decision? Well, whatever you decided after finding it?
I think I probably should have made a lot of different decisions when it came to him. You know, I think I was trying to be a lot more understanding and lenient and not have him be mad at me. But trying to send him away, I tried to send him away and I couldn't because it was cold. But I tried 3 different places and they weren't taking people. So I think I beat myself up about that a lot of times because I felt like if I would have got him away from the environment, you know, I debated on moving. And I'm like, do I want to change my whole life and my career and take my other son? Or should I just send him somewhere? So I tried sending him somewhere. And so, you know, but I definitely beat myself up a lot initially. Like now I'm kind of over that part, but I beat myself up a lot initially. Like the woulda, shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
I have one more question about my who, what, when, where, why before we move on to rapid fire. Okay. And then someone may have another one as well. Where do you think we fail our community to pretty much people fear ownership? to play more so on the relative side of things. Like, where do you think we go wrong and where can we get better in the sense of promoting that? You know, because you've been doing it for, you know, 10 years?
6 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking 4 years on. You're already in this. I mean, you're a boss. I mean, you do a lot.
It's almost, I'm halfway there.
But, like, where do you think we go wrong and where can we improve to pretty much put that thought into people's head to know that they can do this? They can be their own.
So I think the biggest thing is just the lack of knowledge. You know, everybody is afraid to jump out there because they just don't know. Everybody thinks you need an A1 credit score. You don't. You know, everybody thinks you need all this money saved up. You don't. It's a lot of first-time home buying programs out here. There's a lot of programs and grant money that, especially for inner city residents. So just the lack of knowledge, you know, everybody needs to learn and understand. And that's why a lot of us realtors, we do like home buying seminars. If you know or see any home buying seminars online, I'm definitely going to be having one coming up in the spring, towards the summer. But the lack of knowledge, I think, and then just being complacent, and some people just get comfortable. You know how like people work a job and they stay there for 25 years and they never got a raise and never got a promotion. They're just comfortable. Some people are just comfortable. They're just going to be stagnant in that community. They're comfortable with paying that low rent with Section 8 or whatever housing program they might be on. And they don't have the mindset of wanting to do better. And I think that's where, you know, it just kind of trickles down from one generation to the next. Because your grandparents never did it, your mom never did it, and you're never going to do it. So, you know, it's like a repeated cycle.
Got it.
And so somebody has to break that generational curse and just jump out there and really, like, understand what it is. It's not that hard to be a homeowner. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not that hard to do it. So the lack of knowledge, I think, is the biggest barrier.
Okay.
And I think as much more as we can educate ourselves in the community, it'll definitely help improve the, you know, homeownership rates in the city.
Gotcha. And I got to say, since she, like, pretty much alley-ooped it, I know it's safe. We spoke about it on other episodes. I know it's safe. At least it feels safe. But it's really comfortable to stay into the Section 8 communities and all that. But at any moment, when that city approves a restructure, at any moment, if you're even renting a home or somewhere, and the moment they want to sell that house, hopefully you got a good person you've been renting from that gives you more than a month to move out and change your whole life around. But, you know, that's an important part of ownership. So don't be fearful, because what you think is comfort can turn very scary really quick.
And I mean, your time has to be right. You know, your time definitely has to be right. And some people can't, some people are stuck in like a set income because of a disability or something. They don't have a lot of money saved up. They never worked long enough to save up for retirement. So nothing against anyone who can't do it and who hasn't done it. But I think now, especially like after COVID, you know, we have seen way more entrepreneurs. You, and y'all spoke on something very important, investing into, you know, savings and your retirement. People making all of this money, social media influencers and stuff, and like probably don't even have like a savings account or like a budget plan or anything. So invest that money, save it, do something. Even if you don't own a house, own something, a piece of land. Land ain't making it no more. Own some type of property where you can leave some sort of generational wealth to your family.
Legacy, thank
you.
So, do you have any more?
One last question. You know, in your line of work between being a realtor and being a nonprofit, you're a beacon of light to people in the community. So, can you explain to the people why it's important to be a resource to the community and, you know, advocate for change?
Well, it's very important to be a resource, especially for the community that I'm from. Because I think it helps the people see that, like, you know, if you can make it somewhere, then so can I. Some people, so many people are inspired by my story, and I never realized it for a long time. But I get messages all the time, and they're like, you're so inspirational, you're so strong, you know, how do you do it? So I think it's very important to come from somebody who has been through it to help push and motivate the next person that, like, you can start a nonprofit too. You can be a business owner. You can get your real estate license. You can do whatever you set your mind to. Just keep going. I'm still in school now, graduating at the end of the year, getting my bachelor's in business administration. So, you know, it's sky's the limit. You know, I feel like your ceiling should be like a piece of glass. Break through. Don't ever stop. Keep going up and higher and higher. So I encourage everybody, like, keep going. Don't stop. pursue whatever dream that you can. And I think when they see somebody, I came straight from the project, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't have a parent that was married 40-something years and that perfect household. You know, I came from the slum of the slum. We woke up, some of us going to get free lunch, you know? So when you see the kids that are in the position that you came from, it helps to be able to motivate them. Like, you know, you don't have to settle and be a part of that statistic. You can survive that neighborhood. That's why my goes back to my name of my organization. You know, I think that when they see that you're that person that was once them, it'll encourage them to want to be, you know, and I encourage them, be better than me. Don't want to be me, be better than me.
In the words of my man TK Kirkland, turn your pain into champagne.
Yeah. Okay.
And in the words of Eric Davis, break the ceiling and build a new roof. I just made that up. I be doing that sometimes, just naturally in our vibe, when I'm thinking and stuff, you know. So you did amazing. I feel like that was one of the most sterile who, what, when, where, why you ever had, because obviously you're living your story and your journey and your trauma and your pain and all of that, and you came out on the camera thinking all your answers, so we appreciate
you. One of the most much-needed discussions that we've had as a culture in a long time.
So we just want to thank you for that. So moving forward, this is our rapid fire segment. Now we can loosen up a little bit. You know, we can go ahead and rest our shoulders. We was real deep in the conversation. But we're gonna hit you with some quick questions.
Okay, how long I got to answer? Let me put my
thinking. If you gotta think, we'll give you a few seconds to gather your thoughts. But hopefully the question is something quick comes to mind. Okay. You can be loose, you ain't gotta overthink it. Nobody's judging you in this room for your answers. I can't say what's gonna happen when it go live.
I don't know what they're about to answer.
But this is rapid fire
questions. Can you bleep anything out if I say something crazy?
As long as you don't say hey. Oh, I said it. H-A-T-E.
Bloop.
She got me slipping.
Bloop.
She got me slipping. But I'm gonna let Mr. Smith go ahead and hit you with some rapid fire.
Kicking off rapid fire episode 17. My first question of the day is, what is your most overused Baltimore slang term?
You feel me?
You feel every other word? Like, you feel me?
I don't
like,
say every other word, but I do say it sometimes.
I had to go shoot this podcast, you feel me? It was cool, you feel me? But my first question is going to be, all expense paid shopping trip at a location of your choice, or all expense paid destination trip of your choice?
Oh, I'm going to take the trip any day.
Trip over the shopping.
You want to know the destination
though? Tell me.
I really want to go to, I haven't been to Dubai yet, so I definitely want to go to Dubai and ride the camels, all expenses paid, send me tomorrow.
I can see you in Dubai in all white. Yeah, I'm going
to have my cute little thing up, man. I'm going to be an A-Red for the weekend.
Next question, what's your guilty pleasure song that you love to jam to, but you might not want, you know, everybody know that's your shit.
Guilty pleasure, I can't think of one.
Play.
Mine is much.
He says 12 play. Well, 12 play could be that. Yeah, 12 play.
I mean, nothing wrong with the song, but all R. Kelly songs now, I feel like people be like, I got to go by myself when I'm listening.
Yeah, no, 12 play could. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A good one. All right. I didn't think about it.
Okay. So my next question, very random. I'm just trying to see what style you're into. Idris Elba or Drake?
Idris. The chocolate factory.
Hey, dark skin man, we're again. For a second,
dark
I thought.
Dark skin fellas is not in.
Listen, I thought fair skin was going to win again, but guess what? Dark, we smart, baby.
Drake, I like
one minute, him. One minute he loved Drake, next he throwing him under the bus.
I mean,
I love Drake.
But you know he hates Drake, the dark skin, light skin first.
I love you, okay?
Who are you talking to, Idris or Drake?
Drake.
I'm talking to Drake, oh, but wow. Idris? Fine, sexy, chocolate, man, you.
Darker, the better. Dark and lovely, so, see me.
If you could swap lives with any celebrity for a week, who would it be and why?
Any celebrity.
Celebrity life switch.
It could be a male, too.
I want Tyler Perry, like, for a day. Oh, we, yeah, because he got that big old house with the airport and all that. Yeah, I need that.
Tyler Perry seemed like the type of nigga walk around his house just talk to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really got no friends.
It was an episode of Atlanta.
Tyler Perry house, like, and yeah. I love his story.
Yeah, now Tyler has a great story. I know a lot of people in our community try to like hate on him and go at the wardrobes and all that stuff, but Tyler really is a beacon of light. And when you, a person that went from homeless
right
to showrunner, I mean play runner to I don't know what he rent on studio owners and stuff, but what he's doing is unheard of. Yeah. So no, I can see that lifestyle for that.
Yeah, because I don't need to be that in them little, you know, all the females, the Kardashians and all that. Mm-mm.
I love it.
It's too much. Okay. All
wake up, brother.
I'm here, brother.
Wake up, somebody.
Yeah, don't be over here falling asleep on us. That's why life's been interrupted.
It's my day.
You see this energy this dark skin brother got?
That's crazy.
Light-skinned niggas ain't in.
Coffee. Nigga get coffee from a new coffee shop at brand new. Ain't that it?
I guess what? My coffee black as shit. Shout out to all of us. But my next question. You're on a first date. Your entrees are brought to the table. Mm. Your date tells you he will be right back. Eat your food.
Oh, I know he will cut the bill on me.
15 minutes have gone by. Do you continue to eat or you go check on him?
Now, I'm going to keep eating my food now. I ain't going to let my food to waste. But, you know, I ain't going to go check on him. But if he don't come back, then it's going to be a problem.
Appetizer might fuck the stomach up. Just curious to see what your patience was like.
I might text him. Like, okay. I just don't know you already.
I said you reached out. Okay. Yeah. I was going to see where he was at. Some people get lost.
I'm going to eat my food. People know I love to eat.
Right. Absolutely.
Staying in the realm of dating, what is your most embarrassing date scenario that you've been through? That you can share.
That I can share because it's a couple.
So her words, and love you guys are.
I mean, it's always. I think it's more like the person, whatever they have on. I've been embarrassed once or twice.
What for? What they wore?
Yes. Oh, and I'm like, why would you wear those big old yellow shoes or something? I don't know.
That remind me of that time.
But it could be, yeah. I think that's more because I'm be like, do I really want to be seen with you today? What we gonna wear? No, let's maybe go somewhere else. So.
Remember when Nicki Minaj won that big award back when she was fucking with Meek and she had that beautiful dress on? This nigga showed up with a leather jacket, jean, and Tums.
Yeah,
I was not
like,
with that, bro.
We got coordinated something. Like,
I don't know how embarrassing that is to your woman. Like, yeah, you take down everything she just accomplished.
Right. You gotta, like, and it depends on where we're going. If we're going to, like, a nice dining five star, right. Like, put on something nice. Don't come in with no sweatsuit. You know, you gotta know how to dress for the occasion. So sometimes people can be underdressed or overdressed. But it's been a time or two where I'm like, I literally one time like was in a call and I was like, oh, my son calling. I switched the topic, so I had to go back home.
Just to let you know that all expenses paid trip to Dubai, I got off the plane with big yellow boots. Just let you know. Right. In Dubai. Just let you know. He got a yellow boots in Dubai.
Not embarrass me in public. Don't.
All right. That's funny. You're hilarious. My next question. I'm going to go with this. I think you kind of said it earlier, but I want you to find another answer if there's another one. What is your favorite thing to do in Baltimore?
My favorite thing to do in Baltimore. I don't like hanging out here like that no more. But okay. I love a nice eatery. Like, I love a nice dining spot. So I like to eat. And I love to go, like, downtown, Fells Point on the water, okay, or somewhere in Canton. So just eating out somewhere nice on the water.
Okay.
We do have some nice restaurants. Shout out to all the black owned restaurants as well. So.
For sure. We talked about a lot of your tragedy and you going through stuff, but what makes you laugh? Like, what's something funny that you, what's something that you go to when you need a good laugh?
My son, my youngest son.
Okay.
He's a character, so he brightens up.
What's his name?
Ray.
Okay, shut up.
Raymond Jr.
Little
Ray Ray. Yeah, that's his name. So yeah, he brightens up my dad. If I need a good laugh, Ray definitely
will. A lot of these new gen, what is this, Gen Z?
Oh, I don't know. These new old babies,
yo, they grown, bro.
Yeah.
They've been here before.
Oh, he definitely. So yeah, he's a character.
Where about your son up there stealing car stereo? It made me think about South Central immediately.
No, but you know what, Alex? I'm gonna tell you something just came to my head.
What's that?
Looking at old Family Feuds.
Oh,
okay.
Steve Harvey is a character. Okay, like his facial expressions. I was watching it like 3 a.m. the other day, and I was just busting out laughing because like some of the stuff he say, especially when somebody say an answer that's like you know not gonna be on it.
That's your man. You like Steve Harvey?
No, I just like the show.
No, I'm just gonna ask you. I was very sad. Was you mad when Kat got it?
That was funny.
Okay.
I wasn't mad at Kat though. Right. But yeah, no. Family Feud is definitely, that's a laugh. That's
hilarious.
Yeah.
This is my last rapid fire question.
Everybody.
Yeah, so. Cat is a menace, but he kicked the year off the right way because this fucking year ain't stopped yet. It's been on fire from the moment we started and going into March. It ain't no different. Now the election stuff getting back up. Trump out here going crazy. It ain't gonna get no better.
He gave a new meaning. The cat got your tongue.
Right.
For real.
For sure.
Niggas up quick.
Man.
My last rapid fire question is: what is something you love to do that people don't know about you? A guest before said she loves to crochet. Just to give you an example of like the type of answer you might could think of. But what is like a hidden, like not a hidden gem, what is a hidden talent or something that people don't know that you have? You always say you photography, you sell houses, you got a nonprofit, so you do a lot that the world know. What's something they don't?
Well, I like to write poetry. Mm. I used to write poetry when I was young. My close friends and family know, but a lot of people don't know. So I do write a lot of poetry. My grief journal that I wrote and published since my son passed, I did write a couple of poems in there. So anybody that has my book, I wrote all of those poems that are in there, and I hope they work. I hope y'all using them. But yeah, I love to write poetry. I like to journal. So that's been there since I was young. I've been writing poems for a very, very long time.
Okay. Can I put you on the spot real quick before Sal asks his last question?
Okay.
I just want to see. I want you to finish this poetry line if you can.
Okay. Let me see.
I'm just a blues in the left eye trying to become.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
Alright. It's from a movie.
Okay.
Classic black movie. I'm trying to give you some hit. It's a poem. I am the blues in your left eye just trying to become. If y'all know, I got you.
I don't know.
I'm the blues in your left eye trying to become the funk in your right.
Oh my God.
A blues for me. Love y'all, girl. You know that's a classic?
I didn't know that was.
I got a girl that don't know Love Jones. I'm on it. That's a win for the blacks again.
Okay.
All right,
I'm
going
with the light skin. Come on,
I'm going to switch up on her. You heard that, right? She out here false flagging, bro.
Drake, I'm coming for you, bro.
I ain't have no.
You done? Oh, you did amazing. That was great. Right, baby, fine. You were very prepared. You was quick on your feet.
I was trying.
So. Thank you. We appreciate you. You've been very loose. I feel like this is one of the most transparent episodes ever because though our conversations can be considered heavy and thoughtful, you've been super transparent and light and laughing through all of this. So, you know, I don't know what a person feels on, you know, the inner surface, but you're super strong from just your presentation. So moving forward, our next segment is called Spin the Block. We took the terminology from the streets and made it about going back in our show from start to now. Mm-hmm. And you actually can go back in your journey from start to now. Okay. And this is a moment that, you know, if you feel like we were heavy on the Sun organization and didn't say enough about realtor stuff, you can take this moment and spin the block and tell them something else about the realtor business that you haven't or anything that you can think of. And that's what Spin the Block is. So anything you want to go back and elaborate on that you feel like you didn't say enough, or is there something new that we didn't say at all?
I'll go back to my real estate journey and career. So right before my son transitioned and was killed, I started my journey of obtaining my broker's license. Okay. So I do plan to one day start my own brokerage.
Yeah.
Kudos to me. I did the class. I tested twice. And I failed my final exam. Not my final exam, my national. Passed one. It's two state tests that you have to take, the state and the national. And I passed one and failed the other. But I was just really, really not focused. I couldn't really process the test.
Right.
This was before he was killed. So, you know, he just had a lot going on. He was arrested back and forth. He was going through so much. And I just wasn't really focused. Mm-hmm. So I do, one of my goals is to definitely pick back up on that and obtain my broker's license so that I can finish and take my test and get my license. So I did finish the class. Now I have to redo everything because you only have a year after completion to obtain your license. So
gotcha.
I beat myself up about that for a while. A lot of people don't know, but yeah. So after my son died, it was like, all right, now I want to go back and do it, and I think I could probably study a lot better. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's one of my goals that I hate to have not accomplished because it would have been about 3 years now that I would have had my broker's license.
Right. Well, I see it in your legacy. It's coming.
Yeah.
You're going to make it happen. You're going to knock it out. I know that work isn't easy. But your past, I believe in you. You seem super, super strong, and I feel like anything you put your mind to, you're going to find a way.
Yeah.
So that was great for Spin the Block. So now, even though that was it's crazy that you spoke on something that you haven't even finished accomplishing yet. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that as like a hidden gem. Right. But I'll let Sel tell you where hidden gems is.
Okay. Yep. So for this closing up, getting close to the end of this episode, we like to move on to our next segment, Hidden Gems. And it's just about that time for you to speak on something in your journey that was that light bulb moment for you. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we know how to get started. We know how to stay afloat. But it might be that one hidden gem in there that once she found it, you was like, this is what I've been missing the whole time.
Right.
And now everything is kind of automatic and in go mode. So mm-hmm. what has been like a learning moment for you or that light bulb in your career that you would say was a hidden gem for you?
Just like what I do now as a nonprofit, you know, a lot of people, you question a lot when you lose loved ones, you know, and I still don't sometimes understand and process the loss of my son, but I feel like that brought out that hidden gem, like my passion for working with kids. It was always there, but until I really started doing it now with my nonprofit, it's like, wow, this is like something I really love to do. I could never probably be a school teacher, but I love teaching the kids. I love working with them and doing my workshops and financial literacy and things like that. So, but it took that loss of my son because I would have never probably pulled that gem out. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always liked teaching. Now, even in real estate, I was a mentor. I used to onboard new agents mm-hmm. and, you know, I teach and train agents about real estate. But then I transitioned to my nonprofit side and started teaching the kids and workshops with the kids on things. So I think that was really a hidden gem. Like, I had, like, that teacher down in me.
Gotcha.
But I don't ever want to be a teacher, especially not in Baltimore City.
Gotcha. It's but crazy.
It came out.
It's crazy because earlier, I'm going to keep with the G words, I said you gained from grief. And then, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you grew from grief. Mm-hmm. And then this one, talking about you creating that passion for teaching the kids through your tragedy, you gained from grief. Mm-hmm. It's like you gained a new passion. So
right.
I just love how you flip the things that life has thrown at you and you continue to just prosper, because really that's all life is. I tell people all the time, life is simple, people complicated. Mm-hmm. And it really, a lot of the stuff that you deal with is your decision making.
Right.
How quick you move, being really in tap with what you got going on and in touch with self.
Or what you feel like is coming your way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So just awesome insight continued on. I'm going to go to another segment before we finish with your inspirational moment. At this time, I want us to move on from realtor stuff to move on from the nonprofit. I want to give you the platform and opportunity to speak on something that's just happening in the world. It could be something that's trending on Twitter. It could be something you heard on the radio on the way here, another podcast you might listen to. Is there any topic that you just want to talk on? For instance, in the last episode, our special guest spoke about not liking the special details that rental car companies put in there about charging you for the gas and you don't do it a certain way, things they expect you to miss. So is there anything that annoys you or something that you see that you just want to get off your chest?
Topics that you was like,
they
would not give me no mic to talk about that shit.
Right. Like Meek Mill turning on Twitter right now for things he might have done or did. Like, he might not want to speak on me, but it's a lot happening outside.
I saw that the day before yesterday. Something I'll talk about is, let's see.
What's your mic?
Probably. Because I'm trying not to hurt no feelings.
Hey, listen, feelings get hurt all the time. We just did what happens. Listen, we just did it for the love of heaven. They'll be all right.
It's a lot of, like, political stuff going on, you mm-hmm. know, with the voting and everything. So I think that I don't really want to see Trump back in office, but okay. I think it's heading that way. So
I've been saying for a while.
You know,
man.
I feel like I don't know what the world ready to come to, but some people want him in office. I have a friend, a very, very close friend. She was like, she put Trump back in office. When he was in office, we was getting PPP loans and unemployment. And that's a joke.
Right.
But that's not like on the political of what's going to happen in the world.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's like one of the biggest things going on right now in general is just it's election time. Even here in the city of Baltimore, you know, it's a lot of changes that are about to happen. So, and it affects me, especially as nonprofit owners, because we want to have people that are in office that are going to support us as well. So I think it's important to kind of pay attention to politics. Although I don't always keep up with everybody's campaign and all of that, but, you know, definitely when you're in this nonprofit sector, because you want to make, I feel like I'm very strong with relationships are better than money. Mm-hmm. You know, so building the relationships with the right people, with delegates and senators and councilmen in your areas and things like that, so they can know who you are when you step onto them platforms and you start to ask for funding. So it's important right now for us to kind of like keep up a little bit of what's going on in the political world, even if you're not a political person.
No, it's a fact though. And I'm not super, super political at all. And I try to do my due diligence out of respect for like my mom and elders and people that fought for voting rights and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm 36 and I've seen so much. Like, I feel like they only care when it's time for you to vote for them. They try to act like they not on you. Mm-hmm. They try to act like they beefing, but really the whole time, man, y'all in the same organization.
Right.
And you know, y'all all just trying to get the extra win. It's like an ego thing. So as much as it's important, please go out here and do your local. To me, your local voting is even more important than the president.
Right.
But just make sure if you're a person that's in that realm, you know, educate the people like myself, because I really don't pay attention to it. But like anybody else, if you throw me a hidden gem, maybe that could change my trajectory or how I feel about when it's time to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we appreciate that. And that's exactly what we mean by, you know, random thoughts. And we're not really a show that touches on politics a lot because it's such a like a pretty much he say, she say, how you feel type of conversation. But very thorough. We appreciate you, you know, stepping on that.
And I never really dug in, even as younger. Like, my mother was just like, this is how it was really, like, threw at us. Democrats and Republicans.
Black.
Democrats is for the black people. I was like, okay. So, you know, you read about it, you hear a little bit about it in school. But, you know, there are a lot of black Republicans. And then there are a lot of white Democrats. So, I'm not, you know, there's no racism involved in the political thing in my world. I just want the world gonna go round no matter who's in office.
Right, we just want the best decisions.
We gotta work, we gotta still run our business, we still have to be parents. So I don't really care who's in office, but I just think it might get crazy if Trump get back in there. So
staying on the topic of Trump. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear both of y'all feedback on this.
And he's a very great businessman. Don't get me wrong. I have some of his books.
My next statement is a bit about business and also just reality. So, you know, the big thing last week was Trump and the tennis shoes that came out. What is y'all opinion on the statement that was made by one of his advisors where they say, oh, the black vote is secured now because they love sneakers? Do you think that that's more of a stain on us as a culture and our priorities? Or do you think that's just a wild-ass statement typical of the Trump party?
You go first.
I mean, I think it's definitely a lot of bias in the statement. You know, it's a lot of probably little racial profiling, because that's the same if he would have made a sweatshirt. Like, oh, black people love hoodies. And then, you know, but he's so smart. Like, he just had that big lawsuit, right? That $230 million, that's $2 to him. He gonna throw that state and keep it moving and still ain't gonna file taxes and do whatever he's been doing for the rest of his life, you know? But I think that people find a way to distract us, and especially as black people, because a lot of times that's the first thing we pick out of a post, a meme, somebody's caption, everything's just racially biased, you know? So I think sometimes some people say stuff just to kind of get us to that point where they're like, all right, let me get their attention.
Clickbait.
You know? And them sneakers gonna sell out. And they ain't even that nice.
It's looking. Already one wild ass nigga who was on camera.
Right.
And his tape, like, he was so hyped. Like, these shits is fire.
They look like a, I mean, they're not bad looking, but they look like a boxing sneaker. Like somebody that was boxing.
Yeah,
not
some
an everyday. Somebody gonna buy it, they gonna be just on the thing, just like them sneakers up there, just sitting there.
Detail on sale joints. That's what they look like.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I think that statement, you know, I think it's a lot of racial profiling.
I just said it because I think that us, did you answer yet?
I did not. I'll give a quick answer. Honestly, I look at that the same way as Joe Biden saying, you're not black if you don't vote for me. I think they all say the same dumb shit. I don't really think the Democrats know that the black families from our era and others have told us, you're black, you vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. Republicans don't like us.
Right.
Republicans aren't racist. But then you go to a black smile, black people think all white people are racist. So, being that both sides are predominantly white, how do you really think people feel? You know, Joe Biden and Bill Clinton signed one of the worst laws ever that affected black people. But you don't hear that when they run if you're watching CNN, because CNN is pro-Democrat. If you watch Fox News, you think all of us are going to rape and rob you. And that's craziness.
Right.
So, the way I look at the statement is it's definitely covered in ignorance. It's definitely covered in truth. we are in the fashion and style, and that does. Do I think that fucking sneaker's gonna get him the black vote? No. But I do think it doesn't hurt him. I don't think it hurts him at all.
And if that nigga said, I'm giving a free pair of Trumps to every person that vote, not saying it changed anything, but you would have some ignorant ass niggas that be like, shit, I'm gonna go get them shoes at the least.
Listen.
Instead of voting for a nigga, I don't
people like. People gonna be buying them and then auctioning them off and everything.
Did
y'all see how much they went?
$4,000, I think.
$4,000?
No, the auction
price. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That was how much it was. Retail. They more than Louis.
That's crazy.
Retail,
I want to say
it was
200
or something.
But
somebody was auctioning
them off
because
I pulled
that in.
Yeah.
And somebody
gonna
get them too.
Yeah, so awesome job. I feel like that was a good topic. Something we normally, I don't think we've ever really spoken on Trump in like detail on it or any politics. So thank you for bringing that topic up. That was a good conversation. And at this moment, this is our time for you to look in the camera and pretty much give the guests that's watching us, our consistent viewers, your listeners that's going to tune in when we put this out to the world, this is your moment to speak specifically to maybe realtors, future realtors, to mothers that have lost their children, to people that's trying to start a nonprofit, or this could be speaking, like Sel likes to say,
that young girl that looks like you, mm-hmm. that may be going through some of the same hardships, and she just need that motivational message, or like you looking in the mirror at your younger self and you giving it, like you going back in the future, I mean the past, to give them an inspirational message about the future.
Okay.
All right.
Alright, so to the young girl, the young black woman out here who are going through, you know, hardship, who may be suffering from insecurity, self-doubt, you know, some brokenness, emptiness that you're facing, keep going, you know, look in that mirror every day and motivate yourself, inspire yourself. Don't give up, chase your dreams. Don't let a man define who you are. You know, you are strong, you are beautiful. To all my realtors out there, keep going. It's been a tough few years for some of us and the market is changing. It's been up and down. Some of us might feel like we want to quit and give up. But I know that change is coming. This spring market is going to be really, really great for a lot of us. So I motivate and encourage you all as well. May we get to the finish line this year and double our goals and reach and exceed our goals that we set from last year. And to the mothers who are going through anything with children, sons, and daughters, because there are some daughters that are out here as well doing the wrong thing. Any child that might be putting you through that turmoil and you're beating yourself up about it, about your parenting, you might be doubting yourself and not having faith that they will do better. You know, just keep pushing, get help, reach out to resources and organizations like myself and other community resources for help that they can help encourage you and inspire your youth to stay on the right path. But don't give up.
We appreciate that inspirational moment. I think this has been one of our most impactful episodes. I feel like people are going to watch this. They're going to know you. They're going to feel what you're going through. And for those that are going through it, I think they'll be inspired by your words. We're at the end of our episode. So anything you want to leave the people with before we wrap it up?
You always know I like to wrap it up with a closing message. And my closing out message is, as we wrap up this episode, remember our legacy isn't just about what we leave behind. It's about the lives we touch, the hearts we inspire, and the change we create. Keep building your legacy one moment at a time. Thank y'all for tuning in. And Ebony, we appreciate your time. This has been episode 17. We're going to be closing out on a dope note. Store for the Love podcast. Make sure you subscribe.
Yes, yes.
Make sure you comment. Make sure you like. And all you moms yes, out yes. there, follow the Sun organization for inspiration, motivation, and connect.
Connect.
Atelier Baltimore, special shout out to our studio. All of our lovers, our shining spotlight was on all us. There's all those that are grieving out there, love to you. Special shout out to No Harm VIP. Do it for the love, episode 17, for the love of legacy. You see what we got in here. Special shout out to her.
Thank you.